The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
We are in the midst of a sermon series. You know, I said last week we've always talked about making disciples and how the mission, the vision of this church, the purpose statement is that we are to love God, love family, and make disciples. And we've really emphasized the make disciples. We've talked about that. We had a whole sermon series on that. So I thought it was important to go back and let's talk about loving God and loving people, because that is the foundation of making disciples. If you don't love God, you're definitely not going to make disciples. If you don't love people, you're not going to make disciples. If you don't love God, you can't love people. They're all interconnected. But I want to start today's message by telling you a story. This is a true story. There was a man, his name was Richard Rumbrand, and he was a prisoner in a communist camp. And there was a man that was telling him this story, and this man told the story to Richard, says that there was a Christian that was in a camp, and he was sentenced to death. Now, before he was executed, they allowed him to meet with his wife, to see his wife. And she came in, and he sat down with her, and he says, "Now, hon, I want you to know that before I die, you must love the men who are going to kill me." She's like, "What?" "You have to love the men who are going to kill me. They don't know what they're doing. And my last request for you, the last thing I want you to do for me, is to love them. Don't have bitterness. Don't have bitterness because they killed your husband, your beloved one. Because one day you and I will meet again in heaven." Now, standing there as listening to this man tell his wife this was an officer. And he was officer of the secret police. And ultimately, he was the man who was now in prison because he became a Christian. And he was the one who was telling Richard this story. And he was sentenced to death. What would compel someone who's facing death to have such love for the very people who are going to kill them? I mean, what would compel us to do that? I mean, there's no way that this is just a surface sacrifice, you know, surface love. It's just, you know, I don't want the guys to feel bad. You know, it's not that. This is this deep sacrificial love that this man had for the very men who were going to execute him. It's this deep love that understands what it means to love God with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind. It reminds me of the story of the stoning of Stephen. I mean, Stephen was one of the first deacons in the church. And it's interesting, the deacons, you know, we always think of the deacons as the ones doing the work. Well, they were also the ones out preaching. They were telling people about Christ as they were helping them, as they were taking care of the poor widows. They were declaring the gospel. And the leaders of the Jewish leaders didn't like it. They didn't want that happening. So they took Stephen and they took him out and they were going to stone him. And they did. They started stoning him. In fact, Paul was there. His name was Saul at the time. And they laid their coats at his feet. But Stephen, in his execution, is the only way you could call it, as he's being stoned, he demonstrates, again, this deep love. Stephen was innocent. He had done nothing wrong. And in his final breath, he requests for God to forgive the men who are stoning him. It's not natural. I mean, what's our first response? When somebody is doing something we don't like, what is our, I'll get even with them. I've seen that on the road. Somebody passes somebody and they don't like it, or they cut a little too close and they're driving up on them, riding their tail. I'll get even with them. I mean, you know, a lot of times when we're kids especially, when, and something bad happens to us, some kids are picking on us, we go home, we don't tell anybody. I mean, I was picked on as a kid. I never told my parents about it. But boy, did I sit there at night and I thought of everything I could do to those guys. Oh yeah, I'd come in blazing like Arnold Schwarzenegger in Terminator, you know? I know that dates me. Most people don't know who that is. I don't know any of the current ones. I don't know. But needless to say, we think of these things in our head because we feel we need to get the vengeance. They're hurting us. They're hurting me. I need to do something about this. Not Stephen. He says, Lord, forgive them. That's a supernatural love. It's only possible. The only way we can do that is if we love God with everything we have. The only way that we can experience that kind of supernatural love is if we have a supernatural love to God. Because He has a supernatural love to us. Jesus showed us that on the cross. Luke 23:34. Jesus is hanging on the cross. He is dying for you and me. And what does He say about the very people, the very Romans and the Jews who nailed Him to that cross? He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide His garments. Even after hearing what He said, they're still down at the bottom, at the foot of the cross, gambling for His clothes. That's love. Not the gambling. Jesus saying, forgive them. We've been, in this series, we've been looking, we started out with saying that Matthew 22:34-40 is a basis for this. I don't want to look at it again. Matthew 22:34-40. And this is what I suggest. I would suggest, if you can, put this in different places. Put them on index cards. Print them out on your computer if you don't like index cards. And put them all over the house. Put them in your car. So when you're driving, you see that verse, it reminds you of this. That's biblical, by the way. In the Old Testament, they told them to write it on their doorstops, on their fences, the gates. Write it. Put it on you. Put it on your arm. Remind yourself constantly of these verses. Matthew 22:34-40 says, but when the Pharisees heard that He had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked Him a question to test Him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and the first commandment. And second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Would you be able to love somebody who was about to kill you? Would you be able to love somebody who was about to kill your child, your spouse? As you draw your last breath, is the last thing you want to say is, Father, forgive them? How is it possible for mere men and women to do this? And to take the same path that Jesus took. It was their love for God that did it. It wasn't that they were some super Christian. It's that they loved God enough. And you know what enough is? With all of my heart, all my mind, all of my soul. the story I told you at the beginning, you know, as you read it, you're thinking, wow, that's a great story. And then you find out that the man who's telling the story was one of the guards who was responsible for killing this Christian. And because of what he said about the fact that he told his wife, this man, the Christian, told his wife not to hate them, but to love them, this guard became a believer in Christ. So the question we have to ask is, do we want to have an impact, that kind of impact on the people around us? Do you want to have that impact on your neighbors, on your friends, on your coworkers? Well, no, I don't want to do that. Really? That's what we're supposed to do. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's the same as loving God. It's not the great suggestion. It's a commandment. You are commanded to do that. And any of you guys who are in the military, when you're commanded to do something, what do? You do it. I'm trying to get my kids to figure that out. They'll figure it out one day when they have their own kids. See, in order for us to have that kind of impact on people, we need to have a sacrificial love. We need to love sacrificially. And that first involves loving God with everything we have. I can't love my neighbor as myself unless I love God with everything I have. And my love for God and your love for God is directly proportional to your love for others. Or put it the other way, your love for others is directly proportional to your love for God. You don't love your others. If you don't love other people, I would question whether you truly love God. You may love him a little bit. You may like what he does and what he's done for you. But do you really love him? If you do, then you will love others. And I don't just mean surface love either. I mean, you'll love them with all you have. You'll love them deeply. Well, Pastor, there are some people that just aren't lovable. I don't see any place in Scripture where Jesus says, you know, love your neighbor if they're lovable as yourself. In fact, it says love your enemies. So our challenge this morning is, how can I love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and I will add all of my strength? Well, a couple of things we need to understand with this is, first of all, that loving God begins with Him. It begins with God. In 1 John 4:19, we get this foundational basic of what's called the first cause. If I am to love someone, now if you ask the experts what's love, and we're going to talk about what's love in a later sermon, you know, they'll tell you it's a chemical reaction in your body. And I think it's much of hogwash, but I mean, it may be, but it doesn't start there. Love starts not with us, but with God. 1 John 4:19 says, we love, why? Because he first loved us. I want us all to say that. Say that verse. We love because he first loved us. You cannot love your wife if it wasn't for the fact that God loved us. You cannot love your children if it wasn't for the fact that God first loved us. Where does love begin? It begins with him, not with me. Not with the chemical reaction in my body. Not with the attraction that I have towards my wife. That's not where love begins. And if that's not where love begins, then how can I fall out of love? If it begins with him. That's the problem we have. And when I talk about that, we'll talk about falling out of love. And I'm like, you can't. Not if it begins with him. Without a relationship with Jesus Christ, you and I, if we don't have a relationship with Christ, if we don't have that, then we hate God. That's a pretty strong statement. I know. I tell my kids, don't say hate. You don't say hate. But Scripture says we hate. In Proverbs 8:35-36 says, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. Now you may be thinking, I don't hate God. But you have to be careful about what that definition of hate is. What does it mean to hate God? And we go to James 4:4 to see that. He says, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? What is enmity? It's hatred. Do you not know that friendship with the world is hatred, basically, with God? Which means if I love the world, if the world is what has my favor, if the world is where my focus is, then I hate God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Notice he does not say we're supposed to hate the world, because we're supposed to love those in the world, and we're supposed to love the world. We're supposed to enjoy God's creation. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is those that love the sin of the world. Those that would much rather spend time with the world than with God. Hate God. Just by the very fact that they're friends with the world. What do they always say? My parents always say, watch who you hang around with. You're going to be judged by who your friends are. Now, to say that we love is one thing. I mean, I can say I love a lot of things. I love cars. I love computers. I love donuts. But in reality, love doesn't mean anything unless you show it. You have to take action on it. I could say I love donuts, but if I never buy a donut and eat it, do I really love donuts? Whew, I shouldn't be talking about donuts. If I say I love my wife and I never show her that I love her, do I really love her? If I say I love Brian and I never show it, if I say I love Travis and I never show it, if I say I love Jeff, Paul, Becky, everybody, if I say I love you but I don't ever show it to you, so come on, give me a hug. No, I'm just kidding. And there's more than one way to show love. I mean, we show love by being kind and doing things for people. Caring about them. I have to show it. It's shown in what I do. But our attachment to, our friendship to, our love with the world is hatred towards God. Why? Because the world hates God. Now you're thinking, now why is that possible? Didn't God create it? I mean, God creates the world. How could it hate him? It's fallen. It's fallen. And the one who has influence on the world hates God. Even though at one time he was close to God. Kind of reminds me how easy it is for us to fall. If somebody as close to God as Satan himself, as Lucifer, can fall as far as he has that he hates God, there, but for the grace of God, go I. The world hates God. Jesus warned his disciples, don't be surprised when the world hates you. He says this in John 15:18. Don't be surprised when the world hates you. Know that they hated me first. If you declare yourself to be a Christian, this world is going to hate you. We sit in our world today, we sit in our country today, and we sit and we moan and begroan the fact that we have become a post-Christian society. How Christianity does not have the influence it did before. Because, you know, there's an outright attack on our beliefs. Just look at what happened this week with the soccer team, the girls' soccer team. Talk about, I mean, it makes me sick. But you know what? I sit there, I can't bemoan it. I can't sit there and complain about it. Why should it surprise me? It hates me because it hated him. And that they're of the world. Don't be surprised when you come under persecution. Don't be surprised when somebody doesn't like you because you're a believer. Or they may not even know, they just know that, oh, you're just a goody-two-shoes. I might be a goody-two-shoes, but at least my shoes are like lined on the bottom. I don't have to worry about heat. You're going to have to worry about heat when you keep wearing your shoes. I got heaven to look forward to. You've got hell to look forward to. And you're not going to be looking forward to it. See, when we love God and when we love others, it stands in direct contrast to the world. The world doesn't like to see it. Why? Why? You sit there and you wonder, why do people hate Christians so much? And I mean, we don't feel it in this world, but you look over like Muslim countries and a lot of places around the world. And I think it's because it shows them. They see how far they've fallen. Now granted, I believe Satan despises us because of Christ. But I think even people who don't like us, they can see that there's something different about us, and they don't have it, and they don't like it. Most bullies are insecure. Studies have been done. Most time people who are bullies are probably more insecure themselves, and so they lash out. And the world is insecure. And we have the answer, but they don't want to hear it. So what do? We keep proclaiming it. We don't stop. But our love for God stands in contrast to a world that hates Him. We've trusted in Christ, and this loving God loved us first. And His love is expressed in a phenomenal way. Remember I said, it's not true love unless you act on it. He did by sending Jesus. John 3:16. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. That whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. God loves us so much, He sent Jesus to die for us. And when He died for our sins, He provided a way for us to be with Him forever. We have to believe and we receive forgiveness. Receive eternal life with Christ. If we confess our sins and we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we will be able to love God. See, without Christ, you cannot love God. Without God, we cannot love God. He gives us the ability to love Him with everything we... Now, this is the deal. The deal is that I'm supposed to be, and we're going to talk about this in a second, I'm supposed to be obedient to God. I'm supposed to love God and be obedient to Him. But me, in my humanness, I can't. Because I love the world in my humanness. And I hate God. So what do I need to do? I need to surrender. And it's a constant daily struggle. Sorry, you will constantly struggle every day. It may not be the same thing every day, but it will be a struggle every day. But you know what? You know the great thing about a struggle every day is you get victory every day. Wake up in the morning. Lord, it's going to be a tough day today. Lord, You're going to walk with me today. Be with me. Awesome. I have victory. Trouble comes. I may stumble, but I have forgiveness. And I continue on being obedient to Him. Why? Because He gives me the power to do that. He makes it possible. God loved us first. Now, you know, it's easy for us to love somebody if they love me. If Brian loves me, I find it a lot easier to love Brian. If Trent loves me, I find it a lot easier to love Trent. You know? It's easy in the flesh to do that. What's impossible in the flesh is to love someone who doesn't love me. To do so is supernatural. But that is what God has done. Think about this. When Jesus came and died for you and me, did we stop sinning? Had we stopped sinning at that point? Did we all of a sudden become good little children of God when Jesus had to go to the cross? Or did He do that before we sinned and before we were born? When we hated God, He died for us. We love because He first loved us. Romans 5, 6 to 10 says, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." That was you and me, by the way. "For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one could even dare to die. But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we now be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son." See, while we were against God, he died for us. Much more now that we are reconciled, now those sins are gone, we will be saved by his life. He died for sinners. We didn't have to clean ourselves up. He died before we were even born. In order to love God with everything we have, we have to understand that he died, loves us first, and he showed it by dying for us. He paid the penalty. Don't lose that wonder that God reached down into your vileness, into the muck and mire, and he pulled you out when you didn't deserve it. Those guards who killed that man did not deserve his forgiveness or his wife's forgiveness, but he did it anyways. Don't lose the wonder of that. Now, understand, you and I are always going to experience conflict with other people. It happens. We're always going to disagree with somebody. Whether it's believers or not, there's somebody we're going to disagree with. And when we do, we seek them out and we reconcile with them. We don't let the sun go down on our anger. We go to them and we get it worked out so we can mend that relationship. And that is what God does for you. He seeks you out. In his amazing love for us, he seeks us. He stands at that door knocking. "Let me in. I'm here. I love you. Come back to me." He's like the prodigal father waiting for the son to return, and he runs to us. Never forget that we love because he first loved us. I'm going to do a quick prayer. Father, we praise you. Father, help us to always remember that the reason we can love is because you first loved us. We praise you for that. Amen. The second one is to love God. To love him with everything we have demands our obedience. Yeah, we don't like that word. I don't like the word obedience. I don't want to obey the laws. I don't want to do what everybody wants me to do. I'd rather do what I want to do. I sound like my kids. I sound like everybody's kids. I don't want to mow the lawn. I don't want to do the dishes. I don't want to empty the dishwasher. I like to tell my kids, "Oh, you have no idea how easy it is to empty the dishwasher. I used to have to wash all the dishes." Then I move out and my mom and dad get a dishwasher. Well, I was gone. Yay. No, we don't want to be obedient. Obedience is difficult. Obedience isn't any fun. That's what we tell ourselves. In our quest to love God with all of our heart and our mind, our soul and our strength, we must be obedient. If you love God, you will obey him. 1 John 5:2-3 says this, "By this we know that we love the children of God." This is how we know we love God's children. When we love God and we obey his commandments. So look at this. This is what it's saying. So you look at the greatest commandment. "I am to love the Lord my God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I'm to love others of myself." So how do I do that? How do I show that I love others? By being obedient to God. I mean, I'm constantly telling my kids that I love them. Every night, "I love you," before they go to bed. In the morning when they get up, "I love you." If I'm out of town or I come home, "I love you." But if I tell them that, and then I don't do anything about it, and I'm not, you know, that's one thing. That doesn't mean I love them. I don't really love them. I'm just saying it. For them, if they tell me that they love me, and yet they aren't obedient to me, do they really love me? No. Now, I know this it's called honoriness, and I still have a little bit of that in me. Wait a minute. I still have a lot of that in me. It's part of being a kid is that you're disobedient. You're pushing the envelope. You're trying to test the waters. But for the most part, my kids are very obedient. I say these things about them. I'm using those instances. But they are very obedient to me. But see, I want them to be not just obedient to me. I want them to be obedient to Beth. How do they show that they love their mother? By being obedient to me. When I say, listen to your mother. Do what mommy says the first time. Don't make mommy upset. See, their obedience pleases me. Think about that. You want to please God? Be obedient to Him. Love Him with everything you have. Love others as you love yourselves. Seek Him out. Spend time with Him. Follow the things He says to do, the rules, the laws. Those won't save you. We'll talk about that later sometime too. But it pleases Him. Understand that a truly loving father wants his children to obey him. I don't want to pass judgment, but I have seen some families in places, and I wonder, do they truly love their kids? Because those kids are not being obedient. Johnny, don't do that. And he goes off and does it anyways. And he does it again. And Johnny, don't do... You've had to say it a second time? I don't think so. A child needs to be obedient. How do you teach obedience? I know. Get the belt out, right? That doesn't teach obedience. Sometimes it helps. I'll be honest with you. Spanking does help at a time. You teach obedience by teaching love. You teach him to love me through that obedience. That's how you teach obedience. God, as our Father, He gives us boundaries. He gives us boundaries. And He expects us to follow those boundaries and to obey Him. And in doing so, we show him that we love him. 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." And his commandments are not burdensome. Some people might think I'm pretty heavy-handed with my kids, and I have a lot of expectations. And you're right, I do. But they're not burdensome on my kids. They can do it if they want to. You want to keep his commandments? We have to understand what they are. My kids, if my kids want to know what my expectations are, I need to tell them what they are. We've got this thing up there. You do this, this is what will happen. If you don't do this, this is what will happen. I need you today to do this, 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 and this. And they won't remember all those. They sometimes won't remember one of those. I love it. I'll tell Caleb, could you go get that for me? And he'll wander off and come back and not have it. And I'm like, did you forget something? Oh, yeah. And he goes and does it again. That's okay. He's a kid. But they're not burdensome. But we need to know what they are. We need to know. God is not cryptic of his expectations of us. He's made it clear in his word what he wants from us. It's not only our responsibility, but it's a privilege for us to understand them. Our lives need to be marked by the teaching of God's word. That's why we're here. One of the many reasons we're here is to have our lives become marked by the teachings of God's word. Is your life marked by the teachings of God's word? Would somebody look at you and say, there's something there. And if they're a believer, if they know the Bible, they'll say, the Bible's there. I see that. We should be walking scripture. That's why we're here this morning. We come to worship together. We also come to learn what it means to be a child and understand what our responsibilities are as children of God. And our responsibility as a child of God is to obey God and to love Him with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, and to love others as ourselves. I have to keep telling us this over and over again. So believe me. And I'm with you. I have to keep telling myself this over and over again. I'm supposed to love them. I probably didn't at that time. I should have. I'm like Caleb. Got to tell me twice, sometimes three times. Sunday morning is when we come to learn. It's what we do at life groups during the week. We try to learn more about what it means to walk with God and to listen to God and to obey Him. But that's not the end all. Life groups and Sunday morning are not the end of it. You also have to be reading Scripture on your own, meditating on God's Word. Psalm 119:4 says, you have charged us to keep your commandments carefully. Carefully, diligently. If you haven't read them and studied them, how can you do that? If you don't read God's Word, how do you know what you're supposed to do? We must make it a priority in our lives. Make reading Scripture a priority. Seek out the truths of Scripture by spending time reading it. But even that's not enough. According to James, we need to be more than that. We need to be also doers of the Word. Remember I said, you can say you love me, but until you do something, how do I know it's real? So if I know the Scriptures, but I do nothing with them, what good is it? I need to live out the Scriptures. I need to actively love God with everything I have. I need to love others as myself. I need to take care of widows and orphans. I need to be praying to God. I need to be reading His Word. I need to be sharing His Word, the gospel, with people. If you believe the Bible and you believe the Word of God and it has authority, if you believe what it says and yet you fail to apply it, it's worthless. God's Word is very practical, and once you hear it, you've got to do it. If you love God, don't just be a hearer. Father, we just praise You. Help us to be obedient to Your Word and not just be hearers, but doers. The last thing we've got to do is we've got to love God. It requires our whole being. We need to understand that loving God begins with Him. And loving God demands our obedience. But also we need to know that loving God requires everything we are. Matthew 22:37, and He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with your heart and your soul and with all your mind. With all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. Don't be double-minded. Don't be double-hearted. Don't be double-souled. Don't have your foot in this world and the foot in the church. It doesn't work. You can't have it split. And in Mark 12:30, He adds the word strength. You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Now, we could break these words down individually, but in reality, they all tie together really well. Every ounce of our being needs to be directed to Him. I mean, think about it. We are very complex humans. God has created a very complex creature when He created man. I know some of you wives are saying, my husband's not that complex. He's pretty simple. Some of your husbands are saying, he went overboard on the complexity when he created my wife. We're all complex, intricate, detailed. We have emotions, intellect, physical body, eternal soul. And our love for God needs to be expressed through all of that. Completely. Completely. We love God. We direct our thoughts to Him. When we love God, our heart pours out to Him. When we love God, our soul, as Paul says, he longs to be with Jesus. We long to be with God. Our strength, we do things for Him. Physically. Now, that doesn't mean that I have to, you know, I got to do heavy lifting for God. It means I'm actually just doing things. I'm going and taking care of widows and orphans. I'm loving my neighbor. I'm actually physically going and doing something for somebody. It's the totality of our complexity that we need to love God with. One of the most scary things I've ever done is when we went up to East Chicago and walked into a hospital when we got Caleb. Now that was one of the most exciting and scary things I've ever done. Because after two days, and we brought him out and we sat him in the back of our truck, in the back seat, by the way. Can't do that anymore, by the way, but we sat him sitting in a car seat in the dead center, and I'm driving and I'm looking in the rearview mirror and I see him, a baby, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what did I just do? Nothing is ever going to be the same. And that seems like yesterday to me. Well, Beth's been gone, so I've had to do some things for them. And I had to get him up late at night to go to the bathroom. And I'm walking, and he's here on me. I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? See, when a parent has a child, whether it is by adoption or birth, their life ends. I say that. It doesn't. What I'm saying is your focus ends. And I pour my love into that child. If I love God that way, what I want doesn't matter. I sacrifice for my kids. I do. I sacrifice all that I can for my kids. This week, I've sacrificed some things. I had to watch Ninjago. You guys know what Ninjago is? It's Lego samurais and ninjas. I had to watch a movie. I sacrificed for my kids because I love them. I need to sacrifice for God because I love him. I need to sacrifice everything I am for him. That means if he calls me, I'm sorry, church, if he calls me tomorrow to head to the mission field, guess what? You're looking for a new pastor. If he calls me to Iran to spread the gospel, I'm going. I have to. Because I love him. I have to love him with everything I am. Totality. Everything. My passion needs to be for him alone and nothing else. There's a lot of passions in this world. There's a lot of things that will lead you astray. There's a lot of things we can love in this world that fills us with passion. If I let those rule my life, then I hate God. I can't do that. We need to have a passionate love that flows through every ounce of who we are. So we have three basics that we've looked at today. Loving God begins with him because he first loved us. Loving God means that I am obedient to him. And loving God requires everything that I am. So in light of that, in light of those three things, do you truly love God? If not, it might be because you don't really know him and you haven't reconciled yourself to him and you have strongholds in your life that you're still trying to break down. God breaks them down for you if you surrender. Maybe you do love God and he's your Lord and Savior, but your life is not marked by obedience. We need to be obedient. That means you need to stop being disobedient and be obedient. There's a, I always love this, and I'm going to take the time to say this because I think this is great. There's a skit that's done by, Bob Newhart. You guys know who, you older, younger kids don't know who Bob Newhart, he had a whole show where he was a psychologist. And he's a very laid back kind of guy. Well, these people come this girl comes into his office, and he says, I have one, this is how we're going to do this. He says, it's going to cost you $5, and I'll help you. You'll be good. You'll be cured. You won't have any problems anymore. And she said, don't you want to know? And he says, nope, I don't need to hear what you did, or what you're doing, or what you're thinking. I have just one thing. You give me $5 and we'll be done. She lays $5 on the desk and he says, just stop it. Doesn't matter what you're doing. Stop it. Now, that's supposed to be funny because, you know, you think, I got to go through this psychoanalysis and everything. In reality, you know, if you have trouble with obedience, it's because you're being disobedient. And you just need to stop it and be obedient. Well, I can't stop it. Yeah, you can. You choose to do things. I choose to look at things. I choose to take actions. I choose to eat things. I choose to do things I shouldn't do. I choose. And what you need to do is, you think, well, I can't do it on my own. Then don't. Ask God to help you. Or ask God to have somebody else hold you accountable. Just stop it. And do the right thing. Be obedient to God. So maybe you're dealing with disobedience. And you need to love Him enough to be obedient. I want to end today with this prayer from 2 Thessalonians, what Paul writes. This is what I want our prayer to be for this sermon and for this day. And this is what he says. It says, may the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. We love because He first loved us. We need to be obedient to Him. And we need to love Him with everything we have. That should be our prayer. Let's pray. Father, we just come to You, asking You to help us to love You. Lord, the whole idea of just stop it is true, but it's not easy. And we need to trust You to help us. So Lord, be with us. Help us to love You with everything we have. Help us, Lord, to always trust You. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to You. And help us to remember that we love because You first loved us. Be with us. Help us to love You. Show us Your love as You do in so many ways. And help us to show that love to others. And we pray this in Your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church, located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.